Welcome to Hospice Foundation of America Cares, HFA's Conversation, Advice, Resources, and Education Series. On behalf of the Hospice Foundation of America, we welcome you to our webinar, Understanding Grief. This webinar was developed by Kenneth J. Doga, Senior Consultant to the Hospice Foundation of America, and is provided through the support of a grant from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Why are you here? You may be in the midst of grief, trying to make sense of the changes in your life. You may be here because somebody you care about is grieving. Maybe you're a professional caregiver who wants to learn more about how to help your clients deal with loss. No matter why you are here, you are welcome. What can you hope to learn from this webinar? Well, there's no magic wand, no magic words that can make your experience of grief easier. But perhaps in this webinar, we can offer three things. The first is a sense of reassurance. A common question that people have when they are experiencing grief is, am I okay? Am I normal? Most of the time, people who ask this question need reassurance that their experience of grief is normal. They're not going crazy. They're grieving. Perhaps you will gain ideas for coping with the changing situations that loss brings. For instance, there's the challenge of what to do with the empty seat at the table. A woman whose husband had recently died was looking for advice. She was planning her holiday dinner, and her husband had always sat at the head of the table. She asked advice from other widows and heard lots of different options. One woman said, "We're going to do things differently this year. Everyone will choose their own seat." Another woman shared that in her culture, it was expected that the eldest child would now sit at the head of the table. For another woman, the choice of asking her youngest grandchild to sit there served as a reminder that birth and death are part of the life cycle. And one woman stated, "I'm head of the family now. I'll sit there." All of those solutions were good ideas, because they worked for each family situation. As you hear some of the ideas expressed today, ask yourself, what will work for me? Will this help me as I deal with my sense of loss? And finally, this webinar may give you a sense of hope. As we journey with loss, there is always hope that the grief will become less intense, less painful than it is now. Our conversation today focuses on the typical reactions that occur when we experience grief. But there are some danger signs that need attention. If you are experiencing any of these, you may need more help. When we behave in self-destructive ways, if we're suicidal, if we're abusing substances such as drugs or alcohol, or we are being destructive to others, it is important to seek professional help. If the grief has disabled us to the point that we cannot function in any real way in our family life, in school, in work, it's important to seek professional help. Many hospices have support groups or provide counseling and referral to resources. Physicians, clergy, even funeral directors can be excellent resources as well. Don't wait. Seek it now. What is grief? Grief is the price we pay for love. To avoid grief would mean avoiding attachment. Most of us recognize that a life without that would be meaningless. So, grief is the price of connection, and it's a reaction to loss. All of us will grieve in our own way. We each have a unique relationship with the person who died. May have different levels of support. Some of us will be surrounded by large families or lots of friends. Others may feel more alone. Our grief is affected by our own physical health. If we're struggling with physical issues, grieving can be much more difficult. And, of course, our spiritual beliefs and the beliefs of our culture shape how we experience grief. Grief is unique as a snowflake, as a fingerprint. Grief will affect us in many ways. We may experience physical effects, Grief may physically hurt. You may have headaches or other pains, or we may be tired. If you're having physical reactions to grief, talk to a physician and be sure to remind him or her of your loss. Grief affects us emotionally. Of course, emotions like sadness, loneliness, and yearning are part of the grief experience, but we may have other emotions. We may feel guilt. Maybe if we had insisted he see the doctor sooner, if we had just made her stop smoking. While these thoughts may not be logical, our feelings are real. We may feel guilty that we survived. Why did that person die when I'm older or sicker? We may even feel that grief is a punishment for something we've done. Many other emotions may surface as well. We may feel remorse about how we dealt with the person's illness. We may worry that we're not being strong enough, or perhaps that if we're being too strong, then we aren't grieving properly. We may be angry. After a long caregiving experience, many people even feel a sense of relief that that person's suffering and ours is over. In such situations, it's important to remember that whatever feelings we have, they are a natural and normal response to loss. Some of the emotions we experience will be positive. Many people who are long-term caregivers find that they are surprised at how strong they were and how proud they are of the care they gave. That's a reaction to loss, and it too is part of the grieving process. Some of us may even find that we're doing well and may be surprised at our resilience. As we grieve, we may find it hard to concentrate or focus. We may find ourselves withdrawn and isolated. We may cry. We may find ourselves overbooking our schedule just to keep busy. We may avoid reminders of the deceased, or we may actively seek them. Another way that grief affects us is spiritually. Our spiritual beliefs, our patterns, all may change. We may find ourselves angry at God or alienated from our beliefs. Others may emerge even stronger, more dependent on their faith. Well, each of us is affected by grief in our own way. Many think of grief as a predictable set of stages, or we have been told that it's worse in the beginning but will steadily get easier. The reality is that most of us don't experience grief in any kind of predictable way. Most experience grief more like a roller coaster. We have ups and downs, good days and bad days. And like a roller coaster, the beginning of the ride is not the worst part. Many of us may be shocked at the time of death. Even in situations where we knew somebody was going to die, we may still be surprised that they died exactly when they did. Most people also get a lot of support right after a death, and there are usually many tasks that keep us busy. It may be later on, or in the first 6 or 8 weeks, that we really begin to experience the lows of grief. Some of these times are predictable. We expect to feel sad during the holidays or on significant days like birthdays, but other experiences may take us by surprise. One woman couldn't understand why one day she just felt very sad. Later, she realized she had smelled lilacs, a smell she associated with her mother, who also wore lilac-scented perfume. At the same time, there are many people who might not have much of a grief reaction. Such people may have a comparatively limited reaction to loss. This resilience may come from circumstances. Perhaps they have experienced fewer losses, or perhaps there were other circumstances involved with the loss that leads to a pattern of resilience. There are no universal stages of grief. Each of us has our own personal pathway as we experience loss. That's especially important to remember when we're dealing with grief in a family. Sometimes we forget that everybody in the family is grieving, but may have different styles. Children and adolescents may show their grief differently than adults, perhaps by acting out or misbehaving. When we grieve together, we don't always grieve in the same way. Grief is a journey, and there is no predictable timetable. For most people, over time, the pain does lessen. We return to similar, sometimes even better, levels of functioning. Some of us grow in our grief. We learn new strengths and make new connections. But we never forget about the person who died. Sometimes, we may try to hold on to our grief if we feel that's the only way that connects us to that person. Yet, we continue a bond, a connection, and that bond always lasts. We keep it in our memories, and even in our biographies. They were our parents, our sister, our spouse. We keep the connection through our actions. One man's father was a list maker. He'd start every day by making a list of things that he wanted to do. This man finds that he has inherited his father's practice and finds that his adult child has too. We may keep the connection through what Dr. Lou Legrand calls extraordinary experiences. We may dream of the person or have a sense that the person is near us. We may see a symbol of something that reminds us of that person. One woman was visiting the memorial stone of her son. When she arrived, there was a hawk perched on the stone, which slowly flew off as she approached. That moment was very meaningful to her because her son's nickname was Hawk. Most of us in our spiritual beliefs retain spiritual connections, a sense that someday our lives will intertwine once again in some kind of future. Sometimes we're afraid that if we let go of grief, we'll let go of that connection. But death can never end that. We stay connected to that person. We know this because many people experience surges of grief even years later. A young girl's dad died when she was 4 years old. 22 years later, on her wedding day, she remembers that someone she loved very much is not there to share that moment. Even in the midst of joy, there may be a surge of grief because that connection never ends. Now that we have a sense of understanding about the process of grief, let's look at what might help as we grieve. An important first step can be to acknowledge our loss. Funerals, memorials, and other rituals can be important ways to do that. For some, it may be important to talk about the loss freely, maybe in a support group or with trusted friends. In some cases, we may need to say a final goodbye or a final I love you. Experiencing our emotions is an important part of grieving. Realize that your feelings, all of them, are normal. Some of us may worry about what grief will feel like. Some of us may be surprised to have ambivalent feelings about the person who has died or about the experiences surrounding the death. Planning for these difficult feelings can help. Another part of grieving is learning to adjust to life without the person we once knew. There is a weirdness to grief. Life goes on, but so much has changed. We may need to recognize that a person's death can bring about secondary losses. One mother found that as she dealt with the death of her 19-year-old son, she also felt that she lost a connection with many of his friends. One process that can help is to look at how you've handled previous losses. What strengths can we draw on that helped us in the past, and what weaknesses might we want to avoid? One way we can assess those strengths is in looking at our support system. Here's an exercise that many people find helpful. Make a list of your friends, your family members, of people in your faith community, or at work. First, put a D next to all of those who are doers, people you can count on to get something done. Maybe it's work that needs done around the house, Maybe it's picking your kids up from school when you're having a hard day. Then put an L next to the good listeners, the people you can always talk to. And then put an R next to the people who are respite or relaxation people. Grief is hard work, and sometimes we need time away from that work, just like we need time away from any work that is difficult. Our people probably won't ask us, "How are you doing?" They may actually hope we don't talk about it. But their gift they offer is time off from our grief. Sometimes by doing this exercise, we are reminded about all of the support we do have and how we can use it best to help us. Another activity that can help with grief is planning ahead. We know that some days may be especially difficult, days like birthdays and anniversaries, holidays, the first anniversary of the death. We need to validate our grief and recognize that we may need a plan to cope. One helpful process is to use the three C's. Number one, make choices. How do you want to spend that day? Who do you want to be with? Then communicate those choices to the people around you. And recognize that you may ultimately need to compromise, especially if the plans involve other family members who may also be grieving. On Christmas, your child may want to continue a tradition of being with a large group of people at a relative's home, but you worry that all you can handle is a quiet Christmas at home. It's okay to say, maybe this year we won't go for the whole day like we used to, but we will go to exchange gifts, or we won't go for the big dinner, but we'll head over for dessert. And it's okay to choose not to choose, to say, let's wait till that morning and decide how we feel. As we are adjusting to our life without the person who died, we need to continue our bond. Build in moments to remember or reaffirm. Catherine Sanders, an expert in this field and herself a bereaved mother, often suggests asking three questions. While you didn't have any choice as your life was changed by loss and grief, you do have choices. So first, ask yourself, what do I wish to take from my old life into my new life? What memories that I want to take with me? What experiences do I want to continue? Second, what do I wish to leave behind? Perhaps feelings of anger or guilt. And last, as I live what's now a changed life, what new skills and insights do I need to add? We also want to understand how our faith and our approach to our life speak to our loss. For some, loss will challenge our beliefs. For others, our belief system will be strengthened through the grief process. It's important to look at how our faith or belief system comforts us. What practices help us? What rituals support us? The final message today is an important one. Grief is hard work, but we don't need to do it alone. Libraries and bookstores offer a range of self-help books. Support groups run by hospices or other community organizations may be helpful. Activities such as journaling, drawing, or making a video montage or a photo book can offer comfort. Professional counselors can also offer great support. As this webinar ends, please take some time to look at the additional resources available. We can emerge from this journey and find a life with new satisfactions and joys while always keeping a connection to the person we loved. We thank you very much for listening to this webinar. This webinar was developed by Kenneth J. Doka. Dr. Doka is a professor of gerontology at the College of New Rochelle and a senior consultant to the Hospice Foundation of America. He is a licensed mental health counselor and an ordained Lutheran minister. The Hospice Foundation of America hopes this Understanding Grief webinar assists you as you cope with your loss. Your local hospice may be a source of additional support. HFA thanks Dr. Doka for his assistance in developing this webinar. HFA acknowledges its debt to the contributions of the work of Terry Martin, Therese A. Rando, Catherine Sanders, and J. William Warden. Narration for this webinar was provided by Bernard K. Addison. More information on hospice care, grief and bereavement, caregiving, and end-of-life issues, please visit our website at www.hospicefoundation.org or call us toll-free at 800-854-3402. This webinar is provided through the support of a grant from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to support hospice and end-of-life care outreach and education. CMS funds of $571,000 with HFA in-kind services of $5,710 are funding a variety of outreach and education programs, including this webinar.